This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
From the Headstuff Podcast Network, welcome to Mother Folklore, a podcast of words, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I am Derek O'Shea.
And I'm Geraldine McAvoy.
How are you getting on, Geraldine?
Yeah, good. Yeah, how are things, Derek?
You staying out of trouble?
Yeah, as best I can in a pandemic.
Indeed.
What's happening?
Good stuff. So how was the post? What's the post like in Finland? Does it arrive in time?
It depends. It depends on what you're ordering and where you're ordering it from and whether it's the postal service that are delivering it as well.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, so it,
private it's sector courier, contractors.
Yeah, listen, could be anything. But we only get post on 3 days a week. We only get post Monday, Wednesdays and Thursdays. Doesn't come on Tuesdays or Fridays. It used to not come on Tuesdays, but then they stopped doing it in the pandemic on Fridays. But they will deliver big parcels, big yokes. So sometimes I get 12 kilograms of dog food delivered and sometimes that comes on a Tuesday.
Because the dog will only eat a certain kind of dog food, isn't it?
Listen, we can do a whole episode fussy. On my dog's fussy diet. That's for a different day. But yeah, no, it's been a crazy time and our postal workers have been globally, it seems.
I think so. I think I really think that people have developed an increased appreciation since the pandemic of how the postal service holds us all together. I think especially in Ireland, there's always been such a huge affection for our postal service, going right back down to the Republic being declared in a post office.
Yeah, it's a central part of our history as Irish people. And everyone knows the GPO, unless you're from Cork, when you have to specify that it's the Dublin GPO.
Of course.
Which is a lovely building. And you can get the Echo right outside it. But yeah, so on that vein, we are very excited today to have possibly the best guest we've ever had, I think. I'm very excited. I know Derek's very excited. We're going to talk to a postman, and not just any postman. We're going to talk to my dad, who's a postman. Please welcome Colin McAvoy.
Hello. Hello. Hi. Hello. How are you growing? How are you, Derek?
Hey, Colin. Welcome to Mother Folklore. We're delighted to have you on. The real dad instead of the podcast dad.
I know, real dad and pod dad. It's so weird.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Colin, you probably found, I suppose, yourself and your colleagues found that the past year or so has been... is exciting the word or kind of different? Do you find people are showing more appreciation?
Oh yeah, big time. Like since the pandemic came in, people have been really good, you know, really appreciate the postman because we're more than a postman for, especially in rural areas, you know, like with the pandemic, the old people, well, not even old people, young people that wouldn't see anyone from maybe one end of the day to the other to see the postman, like nearly wait for the postman to have a chat and see what the scandal was, like, because postman was all the news and all the gossip. So we'd be basically local paper for the week for them, to keep them informed on what's going on around the place, you know. But since the pandemic, again, we have been, like, inundated with mail as regards, not letters, but internet shopping has just gone to the roof for us now. It's crazy. Like, we would be... Like before the pandemic, say we would, you know, you might have 10 packets going out. Now you could have 100 packets going out, you know. It was, yeah. I mean, but postman must be delighted with it. But the postman are not always so delighted.
Your bike must be laid down with it.
I remember, it used to be that, I mean, in the old days, there'd be that maybe a slip through the door saying that a parcel had arrived. Now I suppose people are actually more likely to be there and getting them and actually meeting the postman.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the pandemic because, you know, you don't write notes anymore. Like, everyone's at home, which is great. And I know it's probably not great, but well, I suppose maybe it's a sign of things to come because people are able to work from home now and there's always somebody at home, which is great. Yeah. And as well as that, with the pandemic, we all have scanners. Postmen have scanners. You know, if you have a kind of a barcoded item that needs to be signed for, you don't have to give it to the customer anymore. You just get their permission to sign for it and you can give it to them.
Yeah, so contactless delivery.
There's no contact anymore, you know, about that. But
that's the thing I'm finding actually really annoying with some couriers is like I get a text to say, sorry, you weren't home. And I'm like, I am home. We're all home. Everyone's home. The neck. The audacity. No, no. Like.
Well, see, the couriers and postmen, like the couriers are only coming maybe once in every two or three. Well, some people order every day, but majority of people only order maybe one a week. Mm. Whereas the postman will go on every day and he knows, like, John is going to be at home today or Mary's at home today. So, and if they're not home, they say, look, if you're not coming, I know maybe technically you're supposed to see them there, but they'll say, look, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm expecting a package. Will you just leave it into the kitchen or leave it into the shed? Or they'll know where I'm leaving. And then when we leave it in, we leave a little note to say, Mary, your packet is left in the shed or in the bin. Or we don't really leave them in the bin, so we don't do that. Because yours God, the bin will go out that day and the bloke will head off in the bin with him.
I'd say so, because I know we've had sometimes the items left in the bin, but only when the bin was empty. And that means that still means you have to dip all the way inside the bin. Isn't much crack at all.
Yeah. Well, then all the people who ask you to put it in the bin, you know, say, will you leave it in the blue bin? And there might be some small bit of stuff in it or might be nothing in it. So you just throw it into it. And at least once they ask you to do that, it's fine, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, it's fine until something goes missing. And then it says, what you put in the bin for?
But that is nice, though. Like, I mean, I know I obviously hear it from you, but like there is a... Like you said, like no one knows the courier. Because I find that weird here that I don't know our postman. We've got a different post person. Like all the time, it's not the same person, which weirds me out. Like, because you have the same postman usually, or the post person in Ireland, and you know your post person enough to trust them to say, hey, can you leave it wherever?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like the route I'm on, you know, I'll be on it maybe for 4 years now. Like, I know everybody on it, you know. So I know if Mary's not home, she could have a cousin or a sister-in-law that lives 3 doors down. You can do that. You know, or even if you know what neighbours get on and what don't get on. So you can obviously leave it with the neighbours that do get on with it. So everything works out well, you know. Now, that sounds like we do it the whole time, but we don't do it the whole time. Because in the pandemic, genuinely, everyone is nearly at home, which is great, like, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's actually something that's really interesting. I find that, like, because I know there's a difference between rural and like urban posts, because living in rural Ireland, you don't have a number on your house, like, you know, whereas if you're living in a town, you have a number. So in rural Ireland, you have to know what, like, it could, like our address at home, there's like 4 or 5 houses that have the same address, so you have to know who lives there. And also about the family feuds, like if that family don't talk to each other over a farm that wasn't given to John, you know, you have to know about that.
Because when you're learning on a post, say if I was going out to train with another postman, and one in particular, like, there was one, it must have been 3 different sets of brothers, and they didn't get on, and they're all the one name, and have maybe 2 kids that are the same, so you have to get everything right, because if it goes into that house, it's not coming back. You won't get it back, so you have to try to get everything spot on, you know.
Oh, that's really interesting, though, because postmen then are like the... You're like the receptacle for like local histories, because you know who doesn't get on with who and why, because you have to know.
And if a letter for J. Moriarty or something is, and there could be 4 brothers or the father or the nephew, and none of them are speaking to each other, but it's all kind of the same townland, that could lead chaos.
It could. Well, if it's like that, and if it's as bad as that, we would send it back.
Mm-hmm.
Because rather than, it could be a bank statement and John will know what John on Road has in his bank or something like that, and so the safest thing to do then is send it back and say insufficient address, and it'll come back then either with the right address or it'll come back with the same address the next day. One or the other, you know.
I guess that's the right rather than like annoying your customers, that like rather have it delayed and correct than your bank statement sent to the wrong person, you know.
But that's the trouble if someone is training, like if you know, a guy is trained on it for a week, like you get to train on a post for a week, and then John goes off on holidays, that postman has gone on holidays and you're on it for a week, and that's when there can be a bit of a mix-up. Say he might drop something into to John, and it's just new went to John, and John is not giving it back to Mary down the road, you know. That's the problem. But no, it doesn't happen very often, thanks be to God, so we're lucky enough that way.
And what is the process then for like return, like how... What has to be on a letter for it to be returned back? Okay, there's an insufficient address if it's not, it doesn't have the right name, so it could be multiple people. But like, if I post something without a stamp, will you post it?
Well, if it gets through the system and comes onto my bench, of course I'd give it. I wouldn't dream of no postman will send it back. Oh, sorry, there's no stamp in that. I'm going to give that back because it didn't pay a euro. The postman won't stop it. It's the up the chain that they'll stop it before it gets to you. And if it gets to me, grand, I'll deliver it, or the postman will deliver it. But vice versa, that we have, say, if you post something, an A4 envelope, and you didn't put the right amount of postage on it, and you could post maybe five or six of them, and we've got these back, and it goes to Dublin, and they spot, right, there's the wrong amount of money paid for this. So they'll bundle them all, and they'll get your address and send it back to you, and it'll come back on my bench to give back to you. And they won't let it through. Sometimes you used to say, right, we'll hold it up for a day or two. But now they've stopped all that. It's just right.
Because I thought they were obliged to deliver it if there was no return address. If you don't have a return address, do they deliver it, or do they?
What no,
do they
do? Usually, well, if there's no return address, they may deliver. But it's usually what they'll do is they'll send it to Limerick, and Limerick has in one of the depots in Limerick, they will open it and find an address inside. They have the authority to open it. We don't have the authority to open it.
Yeah. Ah. Because I was thinking, because my American friends will always put a return address in the back of the envelope, but it wasn't terribly common for in Irish people to do that. And I was wondering if the reason was so they can't send it back to you by the
Limerick will. Mm. So if we were like, if there's a letter that has any problems with it at all, if we write insufficient address on it and we've no one to send it back to, it'll go back to the if that's the stamp, but usually the franking. Do you know the franking that's on a letter? Mm-hmm. They're all linked to businesses or people. So if you just in our system inside in the offices, if you type in the franking code, their name of that business will come up. So you'll just be, like the Laois County Council will say, or Dublin County Council, or Fingal County. You know, they'll all have their own franking number. The GAA in Laois will have the same thing. You know, they can be posted back to them directly. So it's easy to get them back to them.
So there's no escape.
No, there's no escape.
Pay your post.
Yeah,
so then. Building on that then, because one of the, I suppose, the quaint things about the post office, and it like definitely twice a year something goes viral that somebody's posted or delivered usually a card or something to some odd address. And like, I would call it an insufficient address, but it still gets to the right person. So it's like Mary, who did the degree in science in Dublin and bought that new house on the end of the lane, Kildare. And that's it. And then it gets delivered to the appropriate Mary. Like,
Well,
that's surely insufficient, but yet it gets delivered.
No, well, like, the last thing we lose is very insufficient on it. You know, it's not that you want to say, oh, here, and I don't know who does. Like, you'll ask, hey, do you know Mary that done a degree, or do you know? I got a letter there one day, well, it's about 3 years ago. It was Aisling, who got the new tarmac in a driveway just outside Port Laois. And it's, I happened to know, I was doing the post that week on that place, and I happened to know that Aisling got this particular that's getting new tarmac in her house. It has to be her. It was a car from like out from Spain or somewhere like that, you know. But I was doing the post and I bought her. Well, she fell around the place laughing because it was her. She was amazed that she got it.
That's a great one. I guess you've seen some wonderful ones. And I think sometimes it's almost like that. Maybe the letter writer is trying to see test if the postman can actually do it.
And they
generally do.
A guy that had a blog though one time where he did that, where he would just like post strange, and they almost all got delivered. Like they were,
yeah, that's right. He was on the radio here.
Yeah, because you have, I get, like you were saying earlier, like you have that, and there's more than one postman working together. So if you don't know it.
Oh yeah, we're all beside each other. All the routes that are interlinked will say, my road is leading to another road. Well, that postman is beside me. So we're all, anything for the Mount Rat road will say, the boys around me will be near enough to that as well. Same as Timahoe, like where I live, the parish, the three postmen from that area will be beside each other. So if there's anyone that's not kind of, the letter that's kind of doubtful, that they, one of them will know, do you know?
Yeah. Because you, like you said, you have that information that you have to know it about, you know, the history of families and who's related to you and whose sister-in-law is who. So
it's like when there's local elections, the most important person to know when there's elections going on is the postman, because he knows whoever votes for her and what party, political party they're assigned to her, and you know, or affiliated to her.
That's funny, actually, because I remember when I was canvassing a few years ago with Repeal, and So people, we would canvass, and if people weren't home, we would put like election literature or referendum literature through their post. And I remember headquarters were all like, oh, political letters don't count as junk mail. Mm. And I remember saying that to you, Dad, and you were like, that's junk mail. Well, people hate that.
Junk mail. That's... Oh, totally, yeah.
Like... Yeah, people know like that. Sometimes they have like no political or whatever, no like election material, I think maybe is what they use. But if it's junk mail, it's always touch and go. And I remember some of the Dublin people being like, no, that's fine. And I was like, rural Ireland does not enjoy that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's, no, they don't want
Because I know once or twice I've known some people to run after a postman who's maybe put a piece of election material as if the postman is campaigning, and the postman isn't campaigning.
Yeah, it's even with like advertisement now, like, sorry, we don't mind if you don't take it. We'd gladly, if you put junk mail up, it suits us to the ground because we don't want to be going on with it at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now there's some of the companies that are, well, we say like the bigger shops, you know, the retails, they're going, used to put little leaflets, but now they have nearly a book going out once a week. It's a disaster, like, because your mail is heavy enough, but then when you have a book, like, and for every house, on mine would say that if I take all the junk mail out of it, people that have no junk mail, I'd have around 600. So I have to bring 600 of these books around. Like, and the minute you give to people, say, I don't want that junk. And I put a junk mail up and I won't have to give it to you. And I won't have to carry it anymore either.
Some people like the junk mail, though. I put up a no junk mail sign here, and my partner was very upset that he wasn't getting coupons for McDonald's anymore. But I was like, it's not worth it for all of the rest of the garbage we get. Like, but yeah he's over it now.
Yeah, well, there's some people go mad for likes of the Supermax and McDonald's, you know.
Those Supermax coupon books are class, though.
Can you give me an extra one? I mean, I give her a whole packet of them. She can have them all. She wants them. I don't mind.
Oh, man. That's funny.
But some of them houses that, like, they have, we know, like, that maybe there'll be four or five kids in the house. You'd always throw in a couple of extra just to. Mm-hmm. So everyone is happy and there's no child left crying because he didn't get a book, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
That is nice. That's obviously a thought that counts, and that's the great thing about it, was having a postman who knows the community and knows these little things that are important.
And speaking of kids, actually, do you have kids who are like obsessed with postman, who are like, do you know the way like some children are obsessed with like bin men? Like, they're just
some kids are obsessed. Well, actually, about, I don't know what I was telling you about this growing up, just before Christmas, there was one woman and the child, this little boy, he's a lovely little boy, about maybe 3, I suppose, or a little less than 3. And every day he'd wave to you and I'd wave back to him. And then one day I met the mother and she said, look, when you call him, will you knock on my door tomorrow? I'm trying to get the child off a bottle and I want him, he's going to give you his bottle. And you're going to take it away. He says, no, when I close the door, you just fire in over the gate. It'll be grand, over the door, beside him. So the next day, I went to the door, knocked on the door, and here's a little boy. He handed over his bottle. It was like giving me the crown jewels, a little crater. I felt so sorry for him. So I took the bottle anyway, and when I closed the door, I fired it in over. And I went home, and he says, that child is going to, he's going to hate the postman for the rest of his life.
Yeah, does he just think he robbed his bottle now?
Yeah, because the next day I asked the mother, how did he go? He said, he was crying last night for his bottle. She said, but he's going to get used to it. And I said to myself, going to hate the postman for this. The last person in the world wants to take a bottle of a child.
My God. That's how you bribe your children, Derek. Use the postman.
Give the, that's the gas.
What
thing.
Was the purpose? Did she just say that the postman's and he's going
to
take?
I was to take it and give it to another child who needed a bottle. And I told him, I gave it to another little boy and he was so happy with this new bottle. I told him that the next day and he was,
he
was delighted with that. But I'm sure at night time he was saying, here, look, I really like it back for a little soak. That's all, you know.
Oh, that's cute.
That is cute. That's a lovely story.
Hello, I'm Emma Jane from Fail Harder, the podcast that chats to people at the top of their game about failure, from their first memory of failure to how they cope with it now. I have some unbelievable guests on the show, like Paul Mescal, James Kavanagh, Georgina Campbell, the list just goes on. And of course, we'd be mad to take failure too seriously, so every week I have 20 questions in front of me, numbered at random. Most are straightforward, however, some are a little more unconventional, and in the spirit of failure, my guest can pick the number. They might not like the results, but life's not fair and neither is my podcast.
I was wondering, could we chat about air quotes, actually? Because people, it's so weird. People have weird, I'm all for air quotes. I think they're class. But initially when they came in, there was great resistance to it. But I remember when they came in that my I remember discussing it with my boyfriend, who, again, is not Irish. And most places have, like, most countries have postcodes.
Ireland was, like, an outlier for a long time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People just put in a bunch of zeros and they're doing online shopping.
That was all I would do. And sometimes they would ask for more and I would have to make up one or just, like, Google, like, postcodes or use my one from when I lived in America or something that I can't recall now. So it was, like, really late coming in. And... yeah, people are, like, weirdly resistant about them, but I'm all for air codes. I think they're class.
Yeah, well, when they came in first, we were we kind of were flipping about them and said, sure, it's only for the ambulances, you know, yeah. Emergency service. It wasn't really for a postman. We don't need them. Because they said, look, people are always going to write their address. Irish people, it's just a thing to write their address. And now, to be fair, it has been really good, you know, because some people might say, Colin McAvoy, Port Leash, and to put the air code at the bottom of it, and then if it comes up like that, you know, it's very vague, so we'd put it, if the air code's there, we'd put it into our phones and it'll tell you exactly where it's from, so it's really easy to know. But they're very useful now. We're getting more used to them now, you know. Well, we know as well, because if it doesn't say R32, R32 is Leash, we'll say. So if it doesn't say R32 at the start, we just put into Missorts, it goes back to somewhere else, because at least we won't have to go looking for it again, you know. It's R32, all the rest of the letters with it, but if R32 is at least for the start, and if the postman doesn't see R32 and he knows it's not for these, because there's a couple of, like, Timahoe is in Kildare and there's a Stradbally in Waterford, you know, so you get loads of mix-ups like that, you know, that Waterford stuff will come to Leash, and I'm sure it's the vice versa down there with them, you know, just... because the machines or somebody sorting up in Dublin just made a little mistake. Now, wouldn't get an awful lot of stuff, you know, but it would happen.
I think probably pandemic as well has made people more, because you're using more courier services, so people are definitely learning their air code, because I didn't learn ours
Well, the couriers are nearly dependent on air codes. Yeah. You know, because they wouldn't know where you are, where Kyle, you know, where your address would be, so that they wouldn't have a clue. And everything was air codes with them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even when some of our postmen will say, some of the relief postmen, they're doing a big house estate in Port Leash, and they're not very familiar. Like, air codes are deadly for them, you know, because they're not sure where they're going. Whereas when you put in the air code, it takes you right to the door, which is great, you know.
Yeah, it is the convenient thing actually about the air codes in Ireland, because at least, like, the postcode I have here, it's to an area, so it's not specific to, like, where we live. But I think, I'm actually not sure if it's that case in the UK, because I know they have the same structure, but at least in Ireland, it's a specific air code.
Oh, steady. Even if I was going somewhere outside and it just, you know, outside Leash or in Dublin or something, they give you the air code, you put it into your phone, like, to take it right to the door, like,
it's handy for Google really Maps,
good,
yeah.
It's after turning around to be a good thing. Like, we were kind of sceptical at first. We'll never need it. But it has been a revelation for us, like, you know.
Definitely. Because I know when, like, I grew up in around the border of Dublin 14 and Dublin 16.
Oh, so you had a postcode.
This is the big thing, that postcodes were a controversial thing in Dublin, because they were so linked to property prices and alleged prestige. And there was particularly perception around Farnham that the 14 bit was fancier than the 16 bit, and that people were faking a 14 on their address when they're actually in the 16 part. And this became a playground accusation that you were a Dublin 16 rather than Dublin 14. But when my mum got her air code, she said, see, this proves that we were 14 all along.
Yeah, because the Dublin air codes do start with D whatever, don't they? D03 or D, but the rest of them don't apply to anything.
I wonder if 6W actually gets that, because that doesn't fit the format.
What's 6? Oh, Dublin 6 West.
Dublin 6W is the great mysterious postcode, the only one that has, in the old days, it was the only one that had a little letter at the end.
So there's no east or north or south. It was just Dublin 6 West.
I think the idea is Dublin 6 was a fairly large area, and I think the general explanation was that it was snobbery, and that was, I think, one of the resistances to postcodes for so long was that every county would have its version of Dublin 4, and everyone would be able to work it out for the postcode, and then it was going to lead to chaos, property related chaos.
Funny. Yeah, because the only, like, I remember growing up, the only postcode in Dublin, the only postcode I was aware of was the address to send stuff to the Den on RTE's PO Box 2222 Donnybrook, Dublin 4.
Yeah.
And that was my only interaction with postcodes before that. But yeah, I think they're, and they are, I guess they're useful if you get like an address, say in a language that you maybe don't speak. So yes. If the postcode, if the air code is there, there's no excuse for not delivering an Irish language.
I'm glad you brought this up, Gardaí. Yeah,
that's not me accusing you, Dad, real Dad.
No,
not Dark.
We would not. We would not. Jesus, I'm no Irish expert. I'm far from it. I'm only barely able to say my name in Irish. But like, if something comes in Irish, we'll do our best to deliver it. Do you know? Yeah. Usually it'll come to me, and I'm not, that'll tell you how bad they are in at Irish inside when they come to me for some translation.
Don't undersell yourself. You are the pegsayers of the postal service in Port Leash.
Yeah, well, poor pegsayers in bother then. No, but it's like it break. We just try to break. I don't try to break it down. You know, whether it's a street like Abbey Leaks or Mount Drag, you know, you'll always be able to break it down somewhere, right? It's, yeah. And then you'll walk back from that. But
if the air code is there, presumably that's sorted.
Oh, if the air code's there, it's they wouldn't even come to me with that because they'll put it in the air code, you know, that's it. Like,
because there a few weeks ago or maybe even a month ago, there was an issue where it was a courier delivery. I don't remember the company, but they had returned insufficient address because the address was in Irish. But there was also an air code, which to me, I was like really annoyed about that because I was like, I know you can just Google that. Like, you find the nearest whatever drop off point is and you're able to deliver that to whoever's gala shop
or
whatever.
But if you like, there's nothing special in my phone or anyone's phone. If you put in air code finder, and then just type in your number and it'll even bring you there. Like, it'll be a map and a satellite. It's
really good,
simpler,
So
that's, we wouldn't do that. No way.
So there's no excuse for anyone listening. If anyone of, say, a popular talk show radio program would like to discuss it, we've talked about it here, okay?
We have.
There's no excuse.
And to add insult to injury, then we have bilingual street names. So, like, if it would be in Irish as well there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the signs are in Irish, right? You would see them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah, yeah. There'd be no problem there. Like, we all know where we're going. We don't even know whether there's, as regards the streets, for a postman. Like, if there's a street named in Irish, wouldn't be too many around here, like, so we're okay with that one.
Yeah, I guess if you get a letter delivered, like with the address in Irish delivered to Timahoe, there's like three people that it might conceivably be for. So now it's different if it's like, I don't know, Rathcarran or something, but maybe the postman would probably speak Irish in Rathcarran. I would hope
because
so.
Because there's one chap from around here that gets from, his name comes in Irish and his address will come in Irish, and there's a new postman and his. And like, when I told him his name, he went to school with this lad, but he just, because his name was in Irish, he didn't know who he was because he'd never seen it wrote down in Irish before. So.
Yeah.
But no, he's the only one around here who gets his name in Irish.
I don't get posts to Leash anymore. And no one posts me anything.
Ah, that's a shame.
It's fine. I don't want them to. It's grand. And I don't live in Timahoe anymore. So I don't get, I did actually get a letter here addressed in Irish, but the postcode and my name and the apartment number was in Finnish, obviously, or in
definitely.
Yeah.
And so, like, and has the postal service changed much since you started?
Yeah, I find it has. Anyways, like when I started, geez, it was a lovely job. I mean, it's not. That's not that sounds like it's not a lovely job anymore, but it is a good job, and it's a nice, clean, handy. When you're used to other work, we say the post is handy work. But when we started there, like, the letters were, it was kind of, it was all letters then, and no, like, you wouldn't get a parcel, five parcels a week, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was using the internet. And you like, the only time you got a red letter was when someone was going to court. So there was no one ever got a red letter, you know, so it was great.
Yeah.
And now you'd have, like from, it's quite the opposite. Now we have very little letters now, and we have loads and loads of parcels. But since the pandemic, and even before, like, people are way more appreciative of you now, I think so, than they were even when I started, you know. And they're more friendly towards you. Well, not, that sounds like they used to come out and call you names, but they didn't. They're nice to you, you know, they're decent people, but they're way more friendlier to you now, and they always ask you for tea. And like, some of the, when I started first, there was one woman, like, she used to hate, she told me she hated the bank holidays because she wouldn't get to see the postman.
Oh.
Oh. And I felt so sorry for her. Like, she was a lovely woman. And she said, you'd have to go in for tea. Like, then there was another woman down the road. And she's actually, two of them had one name. Now, they were living miles apart. But you'd have to go into two of them every day for tea, because if you didn't, they'd be upset and they mightn't hear anything. And, yeah. And if then if something happened and you didn't go in, you'd say, jeez, I should have went into the craters. I should have.
I heard the same thing about Milkman, and that people...
That's a Father's Head episode. That's a very different...
No. Not so much that, is that it used to be the case that, say, when people were all getting their milk delivered, if somebody's milk bill, if the milkman would notice if the person hadn't come to the door, if there was something wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. Like, you know, same with the post. If you know if the post is not gone, or you know how people take the post, or... And if the post is not gone, you'd always just check around, see it around, just to make sure. Especially the old people, you know, when the old people in your post, because they won't see anyone. They don't hardly come out now. They'll come out to me or dead postman, you know. They want to see them and just have a little word with you, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just something to keep.
But speaking of, because I know there was an initiative with On Post at the start of the pandemic to like check in on old people. To like... Because of that, because they're actually not seeing anyone now. They can't see anyone.
No, we were to check in. We still do. We check in on the old people to see if they want anything to shop, because there's a couple of old people like that, and they'd be frail and well, no, really dry. But because of the pandemic, they were going nowhere. So we would be asking them, did they want, and then did they want them to shop or did they want something posted? Because if they wanted a parcel posted or a letter posted, it was done free of charge. So we would take their mail and bring it down to the post office. And we have a special stamp down there that just stamped and it's sent off. And there's no big issue about it all, you know, there's no...
Yeah.
And they're delighted with that. Now, some lads were milking it, like, you know, they give you... not the old people, but the younger, not so old. And they were giving you yolks to
like
post.
8 kilos of, like, delivery to come.
Yeah, maybe 12 letters, like, you know, everything.
No, but that is really sweet, because I know the... Didn't they have some sort of like special stamp or something at Christmas for like postmen or something? I saw that on the break for the Late Late Toy Show. They had like a postman checking on an old person or something. It was very sweet. but it is nice to kind of like, because I guess, like you said, you were already doing this. Like it was, you were already like checking in on old people beforehand.
It just made us, everyone think we were actually really great then. When this came out, they're so good at postmen to be doing this.
Yeah.
But no, they would be checking on without ever a pandemic happening, we'd call into the old people, especially in rural routes. Like I'm in around the town, so there's only 5 or 6 old people of mine, and you'd call to them, you'd see them once or twice a week, you'd be chatting to them, you know. But on the rural routes, you'd see them every day, and you'd always know if they're out, if they're not out, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
And has there been a change since you started in, like, because I know you, like, you're on a town post now, so maybe it's not the same, but I know... Growing up, we always knew the postman, and you know, kind of like that. You chat to the postman, like nice. But even before you worked in On Post, like we always knew the postman.
Yeah, no, on rural roads again, it's because football. Like if you play Gaelic football, the rural roads, like you'd always have something to talk about. Whereas in the town, there's more of a mixture of nationalities, and people wouldn't know GA or wouldn't care about it or. Like, there's loads of Irish people as well that don't care about it. Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. But the town routes now that I'm on, they talk to you, but they wouldn't have as much to talk about, if you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas now there's some of the older people and some of the younger people but are from the area will have a bit to say. But no, they wouldn't be talking. The rural routes would be way better for holding you up for talking, like, yeah. You'd lose an hour, like, easy on a rural road talking, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you go down to the neighbour and he talks about, you know, Joe that died down the road, and then you go to Nick's Valley, he's going to tell you something else, and he thinks that no one else is telling you this, and you could have heard it in 15 houses all morning, you know.
So you get to hear the same story over and over again. You have to pretend it's the first time.
Yeah. Oh, it's really not joking. You're paying your face trying to laugh at this. Again, you see the last laugh.
But I'm dying to know, have people... Like, surely someone has done some sort of thing where they're like, because I know Dúchais, that website, Dúchais.ie, do a lot of like collection of like oral histories of local areas. Surely someone has been like, right, we need to interview the postman, because who knows the local area's history? The postman, like, ask them, or the postperson, whoever they are. But like, you do though.
You'd learn it. It's not that you go to learn it, but you pick it up from people in the area. You know what the story is and what happened 20 years ago or 50 years ago, you know, and the story of houses and things like that. It's really interesting, and some of them are, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of like urban, because I know Portlaoise is a town on the rise.
Oh, yes.
Like in terms of like the growth of the towns, like how has that changed since it started?
Yes, it's awesome. Well, the route that I'm on now, would say when I train on that route, you'll have it finished in 3 hours, you know. Geez, you'd be late yourself and you're off your home, you go. And the development of how, there was a lot of houses built that time, but there was no one living in them. Mm-hmm. And like this was, would have been 2000 and, oh, I suppose it's maybe 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. There was loads of houses built and but now all those houses are lived in, and there's been, have to be more, maybe 400 or 500 houses built on that road since then. So it's really, really, and that's all over the town, it's really growing, you know. And like before it was, you know, say it was foreign people coming across, different nationalities, we say. Yeah. That's what I'm not categorizing them right now, I'm just saying it.
Yeah.
Sort of growing just down my neck for saying something.
I wouldn't.
But now like it's mainly Irish people are moving in to these houses.
Commuters from Dublin as well, Portlaoise is a commuter.
Yeah. Town. Like there's loads of people from Dublin, and one old woman she used to live in Dublin. She's only moving into the house about 2 years ago, and she was telling me that like she sold her house in Dublin after her husband died, and she moved down here. Now she's living in her own owner, and she'd be well in her 70s. Now her son comes down to see her, but because of the pandemic, he hasn't come down very often. Oh. Because she's one of the women I do call in to see, and she would tell me like the price of a house down here is like a fraction of what you would pay for this lovely house she has in Portlaoise now, do you know?
Yeah. No, so I guess it does then change the postal kind of like atmosphere then.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's the foreign people are probably the nicest people.
I didn't mean in a bad way. It's grown. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like you see that going during those days of the recession and coming back and the slight resurgence and times changing. You do get to see a town changing.
Yeah.
Over a career.
Yeah, no.
But the only thing about the towns is there's not as many dogs on the post.
I was about to ask you about this. Dogs and postmen. I thought that was on my list.
They're the only people, or only beings in Ireland who hate the postmen. They
absolutely is. There's one dog in particular. He cannot bear me. I don't know what the hell I done to him.
And you're good with dogs.
He's a sheepdog, and he's owner. Like if he's one of the far side of the street, he's looking at me going up the street like as if he could go off it, he'd kill me. Like, you know, if he got off the lead, he could kill me. But he never, luckily enough, got off it yet. But then there's other owners have dogs, and he said, oh, he won't bite you, he won't bite you. And he has your leg in his mouth with this day. It's like he's going on with the back of your leg in his mouth. He said, he won't bite you. Coming out.
Could be worse than biting.
So what is, like, do you get bitten often? Do postmen get bitten often?
No,
or is it just a little bit like...
You know, you get a neighbour, because this dog, in particular, this woman says her dog doesn't bite me. He bites me every day. Like, he bites the back of my leg every day.
That woman is living in denial.
She says he won't bite you. And he literally bites me leg every day. I don't mind him because he's harmless, but he just nibbles right. And you know, you get a little pinch at the back of your leg. If she wasn't there, I'd have a word with the dog. I think.
It's not enough for tetanus, but it's still like...
No, it's just annoying. What really annoys me is she said he doesn't bite you. And she literally, apparently she's blind. She can see him biting the back of the leg off. But some of the postmen bring on the roads to bring a box of dog's biscuits.
Oh.
So throw them out to the dog, and the dog loves him then. And they keep him happy. And then there's other lads bring a handle of a shovel with him. So...
Just like ward away the dog.
One or the other, yeah.
What is like? Are you still supposed to?
We have a protocol to follow. So if there's a dog in the yard and you're afraid of dogs, or you think the dog is going to bite you, you don't deliver the mail, and you tell the postmaster, and he will try contact those, or else your mail will be sent back, and it'll just say dog at large.
Dog at large.
Yeah. So, one lad in particular got 9 stitches in the back of his leg. Because of an Alsatian. And the dog wasn't destroyed. Now, I wouldn't like any dog to be destroyed, but That he got right going over the dog now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a marathon situation where you're like deliver mail at all costs. You have to like
oh,
safety.
Oh no, you have to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And plus you're not like, you know, sacrifice yourself for the mail.
Yeah. Doesn't matter about your leg, get that mail in there, like, you know.
I think if someone's gonna have a dog of that size, they really should get their upper post box in front of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I tell you, when you're putting your hand through the mail to the letterbox and there's a dog in the far side, that's there, or a cat. A cat like is a no. I won't say it on air.
You can swear on this podcast. It's
no,
fine.
No, I'm not saying it. No. They'd reef you, like, you know, they just slice your finger with their claws.
Yeah.
And they'll rip you open.
Because, I mean, at least your friend was bitten by an Alsatian. He's got a good story. He'd be slashed up by a cat.
By a cat.
No, it's not a good story, but it's actually the sorest one because it's like getting cut with a razor blade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are sharp. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, and cats are agile as well. So they can, it doesn't have to be like a low down post box. It can be up high, like they'll leap at it. You know?
But there's one or two on my mail, and when I put in the letter, I know the dog is going to jump up and catch the letter. Like it's a little Jack Russell. So I deliberately hold the letter when they jump up, and he'll hold the letter on the inside. So I give it a chuck back, and I.
Do not put that into the book.
No,
Brian, take that out.
That'll go in our director's cut.
Do not put abusing dogs into the podcast. Mm. But I remember you telling me that when I was going canvassing, you were like, watch your fingers because dogs will bite them. And I forgot that because you had told me to like, I know this is
yeah, bending over your fingers.
So if you have a thing, yeah. Like, so you're putting it in this way, like your fingers like a swan. And then you wrap the mail kind of around it and you push it in that way. And I forgot to do that, but I only forgot it once. Yeah, and I got bitten by a little dog. Yeah. It was a low down post letterbox. Some of them are like on the floor. And this small, it sounded like a small dog and just like reefed my fingers. And then I was like, aha, he was correct. But then I had blood all over the leaflet. So I felt bad about that.
Like, oh, is that bad?
Yeah, it's just bloody leaflet.
Oh, yeah, because they're absolutely reefy. Like one... Could claws out your finger. I one day could barely get my finger back from the hole. Oh no, I shouldn't have said that.
That's okay.
He's a bad dog, anyway. He bit my finger and he reefed me. Jeez, I was split open. I've had to get near him, I tell you the truth.
So did you have blood all over their mail then? Did they complain?
No, their mail was okay because it was gone in on the floor. But the next people's mail, I had to wrap a tissue around my hand and throw it in with the other
Freddy
hand.
Oh, Freddy Krueger delivering their mail. Bloody sad letters. But it is weird that they just like, I don't know, maybe it's other people who call as well that dogs and pets don't like, but they just have a weird thing about
postman is for some reason, I don't know what it is.
I think it's because every dog, you smell like every other dog in the road and it confuses them.
Probably is, yeah.
Yeah, I never thought of that actually. You're coming in with your smells. Yeah, they don't like that. yeah.
When you meet all the dogs, you carry a lot of information. It's like you're a whole dog timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm some threat, so I am.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Threatened by it. That's funny.
Colin, when I was doing the research for the show, and it was something I'd heard before, Michael Collins, mentioned in the show many times, sometimes by Gary Jean. Was a postman.
Yeah, that's right. I read a little piece of a book one time I had of Michael Collins, and... I read here was a clerical worker or something. Something to do with the postman before he became Michael Collins, exactly. Yeah, but I did remember reading that. Or I remember reading that.
Yeah, and so was he? He was obviously this is like before the Free State, so that was on the.
It would have been by the Royal Mail Service.
Royal Mail. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then. Was it Post and Telegraphs then when we got the Free State and then now?
Yeah, the P&T it was then, yeah.
P&T, yeah, because they still have those, you can see those on like manhole covers, right?
Yeah. Post and Telegraphs, yeah.
Because I remember that there was a Minister for Postal and Telegraphs before there was Minister for Communications. Yeah. And I suppose I always remember on Post being there, but at some point it was the actual Minister was the person, usually the guy in charge of the actual, so it was still a government department rather than a semi-state.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. You probably don't remember. I remember the lorries as a child. It's just the vans is P&T was wrote on the side of it, you know. And we'll say the old Irish writing, you know.
Yeah, they had
the
Raw
was kind of an orange coloured van, you know. The Raw was orangey coloured with the black writing on it.
I didn't know that. I just assumed
back in the day
green.
When I was
when you 10. Were
starting
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
And then obviously the great On Post came in, the branding in the 1980s, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, and then when they came in first, the uniforms, listening to the older boys, the uniforms were woeful altogether. They were real hairy. It's like, do you know, like the old army, they were big, heavy, chunky stuff.
Oh, bull's wool.
Yeah, it was shocking to have to wear. And at that time, the postmaster was very strict. You had to wear your uniform. Like, it could be roasting, but you still have to wear this big brute of a jumper, kind of, do you know?
Wow.
And you had a big, kind of a poncho. Do you know a raincoat you had?
Yeah.
And it was kind of a poncho on you that you could keep your mail dry as well.
Ah, oh, so it's a big tent you have to wear to keep your post dry.
Yeah. Oh. And you had to cycle, like, everywhere. Before the 80s, the cycling around here was chronic. Like, all postmen had to cycle. Actually, one postman was telling me, where I live here, Rodin's from, there's quarries, and those days used to have a farmer would come up with his tractor for a load of sand.
Yeah.
And the postman was coming out the road, and the tractor wouldn't be going very fast, so he caught onto the back of the tractor. And your man, the driver told him, you should catch on to the back tractor. So he didn't look behind him. So when he got to the sand pit, he looked back and there was not only the satchel left on the trailer.
The postman
was gone. He fell off and he couldn't catch back up with the tractor and his post came on up the road.
Somebody make a terrible Irish film about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's classic. Man. So you did telegraphs and post then, I guess.
Yeah, well, the most senior postman we had inside started out as a telegram boy.
That's lovely.
He was 42 years in it. He retired there about 2 years ago.
So it's the guy who goes, telegram, see? The,
yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I've never got a telegram. I don't know.
they used to be big at weddings. People get telegrams at weddings.
What do you mean telegrams at weddings?
People would say, people who couldn't make it to a wedding would send a telegram to the hotel. Yeah. And then the best man would read them out.
Dear John, you read a card, stop.
Yeah.
Mm. You're like, what?
Yeah, we got a telegram in Orwin.
From who?
I can't remember, but I remember seeing it. I said, cheers, he sent a telegram. He could have sent a card or something. Yeah.
I'm so fascinated to know who sent you a telegram in the 80s.
Oh, I can't remember.
89. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember there was telegrams, certainly in the early 90s. I think they just said, people would ring the hotel and say, we're not taking telegrams anymore, but you could still send a telegram by just ringing it. We'll type it out.
You're already on the phone. Yeah. Leave your message. Yeah.
And then faxes. We said, we'll have a fax right out of the wedding.
Jeez.
A fax, huh? What the hell?
Yeah, it probably actually wasn't a telegram we got all. It just probably said it was a telegram. But it actually was a you tell them you can't make it.
The same way we call new musical releases records, even though they're not actually on records.
Yeah, new record. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, one thing I did want to ask Colm before we did wrap up was, I mean, it's something that we're very aware of, is that the amount of post offices in rural Ireland that have been closed, that this service is actually is being taken away, particularly in areas in the Gaeltacht, which is something I'm especially conscious of, but in rural Ireland in general.
Yeah, well, it's not something we'd be in favour of at all. Like, even for my own little village here in Timahoe, like, the post office closed here maybe 10 years ago or 8 years ago. And doesn't matter really about the business. Or I think it shouldn't matter about it. It's the hub of the village or locality, do you know? It's where everybody goes, where everybody meet up. Mm-hmm. Do you know, for pensioners, it's their one day out a week to get their pension. Do you know, it's their weekly trip. Yeah. And I think it's not good. I don't think it is good for the rural areas at all. And I think it's moving people out of the rural areas and more of them into town where it's, you know, and maybe that's what the government want. I don't know, but you'd like to see these kind of places being kept open for.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it is that, like, I mean, there's so many services that operate through the post office, like TV licences, social welfare.
Yeah, everything. Children's
allowance, is that still?
Children's allowance, post, your social welfare, everything was gotten in the post office, you know.
And if everyone's getting their pension money on the same day, then you see everybody, you know.
This is it, like, you know, and you, you, And usually with the post office, there's always a shop there. Like, you know, yeah. it's yeah. not just a post office. They have your groceries. Like, and, you know, the pensioners will come in and get their bit of groceries and, yeah. and away to go, you know.
And I love that about rural post offices. Like that, it's not just a shop. It's a shop that sells, like,
yeah,
so, like the post office in Jamo, when it was there, was like, you could buy anything in that.
You could get
it was like a, the old general stores in the Wild West, and that it was a pharmacy and maybe even a bar as well as a shop. Yeah. And
there was, yeah, because the old post office in Dunmore Carers here, when that was a post office, like, I know not many lads, but there's a few lads around here with old, real old tractors, TVO tractors. Mm. And it'd be like, that's the kind of fuel they use. And they used to buy it in, say, a 45-gallon drum. And you go in, you can get your bread and your dog food and your rashers and
shoe
your
polish,
pension your post, and shoe pension. Polish. Even a pair of shoes. Some of them had a pair of shoes. And but you could get the TVO, this fuel for your little tractor. Because they were, they used to have it for the tilly lamps as well. You know, the old lamps. A woman up the road here now, they were the last to get electricity here. She was the last lady to get it. Like, I was well into my 20s when she got electricity. And she used to have a tilly lamp in the window, but they'd always supply her with the, yeah. Like, she'd be the only one that ever had it. It wouldn't be, like, made up what they're getting off her, but just to have it for her, like, you know, still.
Yeah. And it was that nice part of it, like, that they, again, it was a community hub, like, for small areas that don't, like, it's not a pub. It's a community hub that isn't the pub. Do you know what I mean?
That's it,
That was nice, I guess. And so it is a bit of a shame that it's gone and that they are going, particularly, as you said, in Gaeltacht areas as well, where, you know, they're being decimated.
Yeah, I think I can see how people can see the price of everything and the value of nothing, and there's a real value of keeping post offices going.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you there. You know, I think it's if there's a post office in the area, maybe there's somebody might like be more likely to move into that area, you know, or a young family will start up there, you know, rather than moving away from these rural areas. It's trying to bring life into it instead of moving away from it.
Yeah.
And I think taking a post office is one of the nails in the coffin of that.
Yeah, definitely. Tom, before we let you go, I got to ask you, we love to ask all our guests what their favourite Irish word is.
My favourite Irish word is deloga.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good one.
It's a great one.
Yeah. When I was a little fella in school, we had a headmaster, Mr. Sayers. He was from Kerry. He was a relation of Peg Sayers growing. And we were coming from a match one day in Port Leash, and he was just giving us a talk. I was only maybe 9 or 10, and Michael, my brother, was with me. And it was starting to snow, and he just said, "Tal deloga bugabon ag dousa," and I said, "Yes, that sounds a lovely word." So it's deloga, and I actually went home and asked Mammy what was deloga, and she told me what it was. So
I always remember
that word.
So it means like flakes or leaves, or even pages are called deloga, aren't they?
Like over leaf,
That's lovely.
Like leaves, yeah. But I've always liked it as the sound of it as well, the deloga, and particularly deloga dousa.
I know, that's lovely. So deloga bugabon and dousa is small white flakes.
White
dancing.
Flakes are dancing through. Yeah, that's
lovely. Poetic.
Yeah. Absolutely. Where would you get it?
Exactly.
So that was it. If I had to listen to him more often, maybe I might be a little bit better Irish. But anyway,
listen, what we don't do in this podcast is criticize anyone about their ability or inability to speak Irish.
Absolutely,
I'll do that in privacy.
I know you don't.
No, I don't. Don't tell people that. Ruin the perfectly curated image that I have.
Absolutely. Tom, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We're just delighted to have you. You've even mentioned once or twice in the show. It's delighted for you to actually come here and get to tell your own side of the story.
He doesn't listen to the podcast, so he hasn't a clue what, like.
I listened to one or two, so I did.
That's a lie. You listened to one when I asked you to.
The audacity. But yeah, and
thank you.
And we are so proud of Gary Jean, so I can only imagine how proud you are.
Oh, stop it.
Very proud of you. Over the moon.
Shut up.
Just turn purple now. I can see it.
Yeah.
She's so good. I'm so proud of her.
Oh, my God.
I know this is going to be cool. I hope it's cool.
Oh, dear.
Great stuff. So Colm McAvoy, thanks again for joining us this evening. So until the next time, it's a slán from me.
A slán from me.
And slán from me.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Mm-hmm. Right, say it on.
Chill up there, yeah. The technology works.